Hello and welcome to People in Profit, our weekly show dedicated to all matters business and economics. I'm Charles Pellegrin. In this episode, we head to Gaza, where we tentatively look to the future as the fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, under pressure from the U.S. and neighboring Arab states, appears to have ended a brutal and devastating two-year war. Israel's offensive has all but razed the Palestinian enclave to the ground, leaving behind mountains of rubble that could take decades to clear. Luke Schrago tells us more about the extent of the damage to the Gazan and Palestinian economy.
Since Israel went to war in Gaza in October 2023, the Palestinian enclave's economy has fallen off a cliff. With its infrastructure and arable land in ruins, nearly every household is living in poverty and reliant on humanitarian aid. Inflation surged by over 230% in 2024, according to a recent World Bank report, which outlined dire circumstances.
Recovery and reconstruction needs in the short, medium and long term across the Gaza Strip are estimated at $53.2 billion, which is equivalent to over three times the pre-conflict annual GDP of the West Bank and Gaza together.
The economic spillover into the West Bank is also worse than ever, with Israel clamping down on both the movement of Palestinian workers and tax revenue.
Workers in Israel were the primary source of income to the Palestinian economy, and other sectors were other sources too. What makes the economic situation worse is the Israelis are withholding the funds.
Israel collects duty on goods passing through its territory to the West Bank and makes monthly transfers to Ramallah. But it's been withholding clearance revenue since the start of the war, amounting to 68% of the Palestinian Authority's budget. Since May, that's the equivalent of over 2.5 billion euros, money that's no longer available for public services like schools, pensions, the health service or salaries, which fell to half their normal levels in June. What's more, the Israeli finance minister cut off all possibility of Israeli and Palestinian banks interacting in June, intent on economically strangling the territory to prevent the creation of a Palestinian state.
So what now? Will reconstruction be allowed to proceed? Where and how should it begin? And what could Gaza and Palestine's future look like if it does? Well, joining us now to help with these questions is Jaco Cilie, the UN Development Programme Special Representative for the Palestinians. He has a team that aims to clear debris and prepare for reconstruction. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Before we get to any other question, any reconstruction effort is obviously conditional on the ceasefire holding. How confident are you that it will?
Well, we really hope, as echoed by the Secretary General, that the ceasefire will be respected by all parties. After 2 years of devastation, people in Gaza are very exhausted from everything that they have to have gone through, and I think they are expecting also to start with rebuilding their lives as soon as possible. So we hope that there would be enhanced efforts from all sides to also respect also the ceasefire, and that will be sustained into the future.
So in the face of this overwhelming destruction, the immediate priority is dealing with the enormous piles of rubble left by the IDF's offensive. What's that process like? You were in Gaza just a few days ago.
Gaza is probably now one of the most devastated places on earth. When you drive through Gaza, you see people literally digging through the rubble to find any of their possessions that they can start to rebuild their lives with. You have a situation where children are, for instance, standing in line for food and water as young as 5 years old. So the biggest challenge at the moment for the immediate start of the recovery efforts would be to also not only clear the rubble, but also remove unexploded ordnances that are still found in the rubble. When I was in Gaza over the weekend, there was a story told to me about a child who had picked up one of these unexploded ordnances and had their hand blown off. These are the dangers that still lurk in the rubble and in the situation in Gaza. There's about 55 to 60 million tons of rubble in Gaza at the moment. Just to give you an idea, that is equal to 13 Great Pyramids of Giza, or if you build a 12-meter wall around Central Park, that area can be filled with rubble, and that needs to be cleared as soon as possible so that people can start the reconstruction process.
So that's rubble's cleared, but what'd you do with it? What'd you do with 60 million tons of debris?
So it is a big challenge, especially in a place like Gaza, but we have a recycling effort where we remove the rubble and then we recycle it. Basically, you send it through crushing machines, which turns the big pieces of rock into smaller pieces. And then there's various ways that this can be reused. We primarily use the recycled rubble for paving roads and also helping to create shelters, foundations for shelters and housing in Gaza. It is estimated that about 13 million tons can be reused for roads as well. But many other ways also will have to be found how to constructively or use the rubble and also recycle it effectively.
All of this requires quite a lot of equipment, quite a lot of resources. Are you getting those resources? Are those trucks allowed to cross the border? Are you able to get what you need to do that work?
At the moment, that's one of our biggest challenges. But we hope that the ceasefire will also create the conditions for some of these much needed equipment to come into Gaza. We use equipment and contractors, also private sector companies in Gaza to do both the rubble removal, but we also have huge projects on waste management, including also water trucking, so to provide water for people. All of these are provided by existing equipment that the private sector have in Gaza. However, these equipments are very, very old. They need maintenance, and some of the spare parts also need to be brought in. So we both hope that new equipment can be provided, but also to service the existing equipment that can be found in Gaza.
So we're faced with almost indescribable destruction here, which leaves to the sense of being overwhelmed with the reconstruction process. Where do you even start? The first step, I guess, is clearing the debris, clearing the rubble. But then where do you start? Is it water? Is it sewage? Is it rebuilding homes? Is there actually like a plan to follow here?
So there are various plans in the making. The UN also have both a humanitarian plan, but also an early recovery plan, both to deal with the initial year, but also 3-year period looking forward. The Palestinians also have a plan that was developed by the Palestinian Authority in terms of consultation with people in Gaza. The more important part, obviously, is the humanitarian services that needs to be provided for the immediate support to the people in Gaza. This includes food, water, and shelter as the three primary areas that needs to be focused on. But it's also very important that one starts at the early recovery. I can tell you, for instance, the management of waste, solid waste, is a major problem. The landfills where people took the waste to have been closed, and as a result, 47 temporary landfills have been created. I was on one of those sites in the center of Gaza. It is in the Faraz market. It used to be a lively market, but now it's filled with waste. In addition, people don't have access to toilets and latrines, so sanitation and how to use also fresh water that needs to be trucked to people on a daily basis are some of the immediate challenges that also will need longer-term solutions.
You mentioned it before when you talked about clearing the rubble. There's obviously a huge role to play by local, small, and medium enterprises and businesses in this effort. Can you give us a sense of how much they're contributing right now and what they're doing right now?
So just to give you a kind of an idea of the challenge being faced by business and especially small and medium enterprises, about 88% of businesses have either been fully destroyed or partially destroyed. About 66% of businesses have been fully destroyed, 22% have been partially destroyed. The unemployment among young people is at 80%. It's incredibly high. So these challenges really showcase why it's so important for private sector to be reactivated and also to help with the rebuilding process in Gaza. So what we are doing is also helping to build the capacities of small and medium enterprises. We provide, for instance, cash grants to them. We provide assets, for instance, for bakeries to start providing food to people in the Gaza Strip. And you really see private sector also starting to already come to life in Gaza, which is very encouraging to see. If you look at the total destruction in your initial overview, you mentioned that the amount is in the region of $53 billion. That amount has actually been increased. And currently the World Bank, the United Nations and the European Union is doing an update of those costs. But just to indicate, private sector will actually play a very important role in the longer run to also help contribute to those costs and also to help with the rebuilding efforts in Gaza.
Before we go, you mentioned the cost that's going to be potentially above that $50 billion toll that I said earlier. Who will pay for this reconstruction? Who will help pay for this reconstruction?
That's a very good question. So, you know, obviously under the current condition and the challenges faced on the financial situation, is anticipated and hoped that the international community will contribute significantly to the rebuilding efforts in Gaza. There are very good indications from various both bilateral but also multilateral organizations that they are willing to help and support the people of Gaza with the recovery efforts. Then one also hopes that the international finance institutions and banks and other organizations, financial organizations, will also contribute to the recovery efforts. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the role of the private sector will also be crucial for longer-term income streams to put money in people's hands so that they can also contribute to the rebuilding and recovery efforts.
Yaqut Salieh, you are the UN Development Programme Special Representative for the Palestinians. Thank you for giving us an overview of the situation on the ground there in Gaza. There's so much we didn't talk about: the number of schools that have been destroyed, the power issues, reconnecting Gaza to the grid. Hopefully we'll be able to have that conversation some other time. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
As usual, thank you for watching. You can catch all of our previous episodes by looking up People in Profit on the France 24 app or website, or listen on the podcast platform of your choice. Take care and stay tuned.
The desert sands have kept their secrets since the beginning of time. The era of Egyptian pharaohs rises again opposite the Giza pyramids. On November 1st, witness the opening of the awe-inspiring stone and glass Grand Egyptian Museum. The world's largest archaeological museum finally reveals its precious treasures. Journey 7,000 years through history on all France 24 outlets.